All right, Exodus chapter 17 and 9. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we love you. How we love your word. How we just love to dig into it. There's so much meat here that we'll never consume it all. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. It's not a light thing to stand in this pulpit, open the word of God, and to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight to be your vessel, an instrument in your hands that you can take this feeble message and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. For we love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 17 tonight, verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Rephidim means a resting place. It's a place of rest. And this is where the Lord has brought the children of Israel. We have heard the phrase, I know we all have, we've heard the phrase, where God leads, God provides. Is that not a true statement? Amen. Where God leads, God provides. All of us have been brought to certain places in our lives and certain situations in our lives which requires us to place our trust in the Lord for Him to provide. How many of us, though, honestly can say that when Lord has brought us to those places, to those situations, that we have always trusted in the Lord? I know I can't. It's just human nature. Through our human nature, we don't want to trust in the providential hand of God. We don't want to wait and trust in the provision of God. Instead, we'd rather rely on our human resources, namely our own abilities to think, to reason, to plot, to scheme, to strategize, or even to muscle our way out of a problem. Am I right? We're right there with me. When something the Lord brings in our lives, a Rephidim, where He tells us to pitch your tent right here in this specific place, there's always going to be a problem. And God is testing us in our faith. He wants us to grow in our faith so that He can use us more. But unfortunately, we always come to this place, this Rephidim in our lives, and we try to figure a way out. Be it loss of a job, be it loss of income, be it lost family member, be it a difficult situation at home, a wayward child, or whatever the situation, we try to figure out how to solve this problem on our own. When we have the Creator of the universe right there waiting to hear from us. He has provision. He has the providential hand of God ready to help us through those situations. And that's why He's brought us there. The Word of God is full of examples of people from the Old Testament and the New Testament that have been placed in these situations. These situations where we need to trust God. Where we need to look to God. There are those who have trusted the Lord and His hand and His providence and His provision. But then there's also those examples for us that have relied on their own strength and their own abilities. Some of those who have trusted in their own abilities, think of Saul, Jonah, Samson, Peter at times in his life, David at times in his life, Joab, Achan, all trying to solve a problem through their own strength and ability and wisdom. But then there are those who have trusted in God in specific locations in their lives. Noah, Samuel, David, Paul, Caleb, Joshua, great men of faith that have trusted the Lord. Those are just a few examples of how God has placed people in certain situations in their lives, and they have either had to trust God completely or they say, no, I'm going to do it myself. And we see the consequences throughout our Bibles for those. Believers today, we are no different. God brings us to those places in our lives. Today we understand that as part of our daily Christian walk with God. He is going on our journey with Him. He is going to bring us to those places where we have to trust Him. But unfortunately, many of us, including myself, we don't learn the lesson. We try to figure it out ourselves. The budget for the month has come short, so we have to figure out where we're going to take money to pay another bill instead of trusting God. Lord, help me with this bill. Or any situation. We face trials or testings of our faith. So that, why? So that our faith will grow. If we don't grow in our faith, then God can never use us for even greater things for Him. But also so God would be glorified. To have victory through those situations and those trials of faith when we give our trust to God and wait on God, God gets glorified. He gets the victory. It's not us puffed up and say, look what I was able to do, because now we've died to self and say, Lord, I can't do it. It's all about you. And God gets the glory and the victory. Sometimes God will bring us to a place like Rephidim to see if we will trust Him. In Exodus 17, the children of Israel have only been departed from the land of Egypt for a little more than a month. A month. 430 years they have spent in Egypt. At least 400 of those years as prisoners, as slaves, as servants. And we know how God miraculously brought them out of the land of Egypt. But it was consistently a test of faith every campsite they came to once they left Egypt. For they were to take the promised land. And who inhabited the promised land but all the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and all the other ites were there, warring people that this is their home. And God says, no, that's my people's home. And you've got to go take that land. Well, their faith when they left Egypt was not strong enough, as we saw at Kadesh Barnea, to take the promised land. But when they were done with a 40-year wilderness journey, their faith was strong. God had to bring them to certain situations in their lives where they said, we will trust God. They had seen through these 30 days plus the miraculous power of God, the deliverance and the favor of God that He had for His people through the plagues that were lashed out upon Egypt. They had been given the Passover, where the lamb was slain and the blood was applied to the door, and God had given them this as a remembrance of what God had done for them. They couldn't protect their firstborn in that home. It was the blood that protected that child. They had been delivered from their bondage and had been set free, not by anything that they had done. It was all by the hand of God. They had witnessed the power of God at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies marching up behind them as fast as they can on their chariots, and they're going to take them back to Egypt and become their slaves again. And here before them is the Red Sea, and there's no way in their foreseeable future how they can get away from the Egyptian army. But God and His providence brought them to that place so that they would trust Him. And we know the story, how God prevailed. They had witnessed God's provision for their physical needs through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. The desert is a cold place at night, and it's a hot place in the daytime. God's provision of the pillar of cloud during the day protected them from the heat, but it also was a symbol for them. This is God. Let's follow Him. And at night, the pillar of fire would keep them warm through the desert, and they'd camp around the pillar of fire. But when the pillar of fire moved at night, they were to follow, a symbol of God. The bitter water made sweet in Marah. The manna from heaven, God provided for their physical needs of food. The quail that they had as meat, God provided for them. There was nothing they could do for themselves. There was not a Walmart in the desert. There was not a Food Lion or a Lowe's Food. There was just God. And they needed to learn to trust God for their provision. And that's what he was teaching them. And through God knew their needs before they knew they needed it. The need at the Red Sea, the need at Marah, the need of the food, the need of meat, the need. God knows our needs before we even know we need it. Yet he still allowed their faith to be tested so that they might grow to learn to trust him more. And through the witness of seeing the power and the provision of God for their needs, we would think, reading, as we read through the book of Exodus, we read through the Old Testament, we read through the New Testament, we would think when God brings these saints, as we call them, these heroes of the faith, when God brings them in these situations, we would think that their faith has grown to the point that they are going to trust God this time. And we read the passages in the Word of God and we think to ourselves, what is their problem? Why can't they learn to trust God instead of doing it their way or murmuring or complaining? Have we learned that lesson yet? We're all just like them. We're on a journey through this wilderness, and it's more evil and more wicked every day. And I don't see any day, better days coming until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But until he is told by the Father to come and get his bride, we are to endure, we are to occupy, we are to serve, we are going to be tested of our faith so that God can use us more and more and more in this evil world. Have we learned the lesson? Who are we to look and read in the Old Testament or the New Testament and say, why haven't they learned to trust God when we ourselves have not learned to trust God? In Exodus 17, the children of Israel have recently left the oasis of Elim, a place previously, before they arrived at the oasis, they had come to a campsite where all the water was bitter. They had nothing to drink, and they complained and they murmured, and God told Moses, put a branch into the pond or the lake or the water there, and it will turn sweet. And they left that campsite, and God brought them to Elim, a place that had 12 wells of water, a place that had 70 palm trees, a place where they camped by the waters each night. It was an oasis in the middle of the desert. God had given them the victory and brought them to a place of rest. And they stayed in Elim for a short time, and then God said, no, it's time to travel through the wilderness of sin. And they traveled through the wilderness of sin. Egypt is still fresh on their minds, having only been free for a little more than 30 days from the bondage of Egypt. And they've now come to the next stage of their journey, Rephidim. The Bible says in chapter 17 of the book of Exodus, verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. They've left an oasis. They've left the blessings of God in their minds and traveled through a difficult wilderness journey through the wilderness of sin, and that's where God provides them manna and quail. And now they come to the next stage, where each stage of our Christian walk and each stage of the children of Israel's passage through the wilderness, each stage and each step is going to be a new test of our faith. And each test is to be come through trusting God. With each test comes a question from Christians. Old Testament, New Testament, present day Christian. These questions are what, where, why, and how. What am I going to do? Where is God? Where am I going to find the resources to get through this trial? Why has God brought me here? Why, God? Where is God? How am I going to make it? Each question can be answered with the same answer: by faith in God. Let's look closely here at Exodus 17, just at a few verses. The chapter opens with the children of Israel entering Rephidim and pitching their tents. There was an immediate need. The Bible tells us there was no water for the people to drink. Now, we have to have water. I believe this, the scientists and the people that know about these things, I believe it's 3 days we can go without water. They needed water. It was a definite need. So there is a dilemma here of God's people. We see just in the first verse. There was no water for the people to drink. Who led them to this location? If it was in the daytime, the pillar of cloud had led them to this spot and stopped. And when the pillar of cloud had stopped, they were to stop and set up camp. If it was at nightfall and darkness, the pillar of fire had led them to this location. And when the pillar of fire stops, they are to stop and set up camp. Who has brought them here? And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. God brought them to Rephidim. Do you think that God knew ahead of time that there was no water for the people to drink in Rephidim? Absolutely. He knows before we have a need what we need. He knows where we're going to be and what our needs are before we ever are even there thinking of that location or that situation. The dilemma here is not that there was no water to drink. That's not the dilemma. That's what they see. That's what I would see. I'm sure that's what you would see. There is no water to drink. Why are we here? We start questioning God. The dilemma is that the people are beginning a new test of faith. They have seen his power. They have seen his provision over and over and over again in this last month. Will they call out by faith to the one who can supply their needs? Will they attempt to figure out how to fix this problem on their own? Who's got a shovel? Let's start digging. Or will they murmur and complain to God's chosen leader? That's the dilemma. What are they going to do during this test? Are we going to trust God? Or are we going to trust man? Are we going to trust God? Or are we going to trust the resources that we have at hand? In verse 2, we see the demands of God's people. Wherefore the people, this is their solution to the dilemma. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with men? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Give us water. But to God, to Moses, not to God. They're not demanding water from God. They're demanding water from Moses. Moses could not supply the water. He didn't have a divining rod where he can go and say, okay, we need to dig a well right here. God had brought Moses to this place as well as the children of Israel. Moses' faith was being tested. Not only the children of Israel's. And they needed to learn to trust God, for the next test is coming. Even though the children of Israel had seen the power and the provision of God, they still yet had a tendency to trust the frailty of man over the omnipotence of God. And we're right there with them. Don't fool yourselves. There's no super Christian. There's no super Christian. We all struggle. We are all in the same boat as the children of Israel. God is going to bring us to a place and say, camp here for a bit. And when you camp here a bit, there's going to be a dilemma. And that dilemma is going to raise questions in your mind and in your heart. Where's God? Why did he bring me here? How am I going to cope? How am I going to get by? Trust God through faith. That's easier said than done. Now go to verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Go to verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? We have a dilemma, we have a demand, and now we see a distrust of God's people. Do you think Satan can use his lack of trust to his advantage? Oh, absolutely. You start disbelieving or distrusting God, you start saying, well, God might didn't really bring me here. I can do this on my own. I'm going to try to figure this out. Boy, Satan can use that. He can set a wedge in there, and boy, it's going to grow from doubt to distrust to disillusioned about the things of God. Why am I even coming to church? Where is God? This lack of trust, this lack of faith in the abilities of God. He is an omnipotent God. He is right there, and all it takes to get whatever we need from God that he says is in his will is a prayer. By faith. Not, here's a shopping list, God, of everything I want. No. God, here's my needs, and he already knows our needs. He's just waiting for us to say, Lord, I need you. I need you right here. This lack of faith and trust builds in a person till they doubt God. They distrust God. They just become disillusioned with the things of God. They say, is God here with us? That's what they said here in verse 7. And the end of the verse, it says, is the Lord among us or not? Did God really bring us here? They had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They had God's man. Is God here with us? A seed of doubt begins to form in their minds. Of the proofs that are around them, that pillar of cloud, is it just an apparition? That pillar of fire, that's just a trick Moses is doing somehow every night. The manna, well, I guess Moses and Aaron are going out before we get up to put the manna out on the dew. The memory of Egypt is starting to fade. They've been 30 days at least away from Egypt. It's starting to fade. They see constantly, take us back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt, the good old days. They forgot they were in bondage. They forgot they were slaves. They've forgotten the Red Sea. I don't know how Moses did that, but that was a pretty good trick. They become disillusioned with the things of God. Souls get saved. Well, that's just the church doing something. A trick of words to get people to come and see the baptismal waters moving. They become disillusioned with the things of God. When you have that doubt planted and you don't check it, are Moses and Aaron's, are they deceivers? No, they're God's men. Are they really chosen of God? We see that later in the book. They start questioning the leadership. And God says, have every leader bring a dead stick. Remember that? And only Aaron's becomes alive. Is the promise of Canaan land make believe as well? Where is this promised land? None of us have seen it. 430 years, they're all gone that had lived there before. We're carrying with us the bones of Joseph. Is If God is not with us, then all of this is a sham. They start doubting God. They start distrusting God and his chosen leaders. And they start becoming disillusioned with the things of God. And Satan is right there. Oh, he's like, oh, I love this. Go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. And pretty soon you're going to go back to Egypt. And I'll have you. We catch ourselves saying, who were they to question God? But who are we to question God? When we question God, or as the Bible tells us in verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Notice this last portion of verse 2. Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? When we question or tempt the Lord, we are in opposition to God. We are in opposition to God's plan. We are in opposition to God's man. We are in opposition to God's word. We have an attitude of indifference towards his kindness. We have an unbelief in his providential hand. We have a distrust of his power and a trying of his patience, which provokes his wrath and chastisement. I don't want to be in that place. What test of faith are you going through right now? You are pitched in Rephidim. Why has God brought you here? To test your faith. What test of faith is coming in the next days, in the next months, in the next year? Will you trust in the provision of God? Or are you going to use your limited abilities, and that's all we have is limited abilities when you compare them to the omnipotence of God, to try to come through this situation on our own? Will you trust in the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent creator of the world? Or are you going to look to the frailty of man? When faced with your next dilemma, will you say to man, give me water? Or will you turn to God and pray for deliverance? Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. This message was something that you gave me to help me through this life. And Lord, if it helps no one else, it's helped me. And I thank you that you have pitched me in Rephidim and that you would help me to look up and to put my eyes on you and get my eyes and my thoughts and my strategizing away from how to get out of this situation and just look to you. Lord, I pray that you would help these dear believers that I love so much as they're pitched in Rephidim to trust you and to lean to you and look to you for guidance. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.